This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. And you know, you can listen to The Takeaway anytime by subscribing to our podcast. You can find that on our website, thetakeaway.org, or on iTunes. Obama on education, on community, and opening a can of...
We need to go back to the time, back to the day when parents saw somebody, saw some kid fooling around. And it wasn't your child, but they'll whoop you anyway.
In a whoop-ass speech before the NAACP, the president speaks of the past and the future. His sermon to a very sympathetic audience was a challenge, a congratulation, and a sales pitch for his legislative programs on education and health care. Barack Obama, the kid is not fooling around. We're going to whoop you anyway on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. It's Friday, July 17th. I'm John Hockenberry, and I can actually remember that time when the neighbors would whoop you for getting out of line. Some thoughts about that in a moment. On the show today, we get deep into the Comic-Con show out in San Francisco. It affects your life, believe me. And stimulus takes the wrong bus in Minnesota. Sarah Palin's comeback trail. Is it a hike or an ice climb? But first, African-American Mayor Jerry Sam of Lamarck, Texas, joins us now. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
You're the first African-American mayor, we should remind our listeners, of Lamarck, Texas, correct?
That's correct, and also of Galveston County.
And Galveston County, there we go.
That's
so you remember that time when if you got out of line, even a neighbor would whoop you, if you were, like what Barack Obama said last night? You remember that time, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can remember the day that I was walking down the middle of the street. I had gotten in trouble at school, and the neighbor whooped me on the way going home, and then another neighbor whooped me, and then by the time I got home, my mom whooped me, and then my dad whooped me.
And Jerry, and Jerry,
I promise you, I never walked in the street again.
And Jerry, look how you turned out, huh?
That's correct.
There you go. All right, more with Jerry Sam, the mayor of Lamarck and Texas and Galveston County, in just a moment. But first, everything you need to know this morning. In the headlines, at least eight are dead and dozens more wounded after bombings of two luxury hotels in Indonesia. Police say the bombers were staying as guests. Many foreign travelers were at the Jakarta hotels. There's no claim of responsibility yet. Supreme Court hopeful Sonia Sotomayor is on track for a full Senate confirmation vote the first week in August. She's expected to win every Democratic vote, plus some Republican support. If she does, she'll be on track to hear her first case at the court in early September. Fresh economic data to chew on a little later this morning. New home reporting is coming, and we'll let you know what the numbers when they come out. Pope Benedict is recovering after breaking his wrist in a fall while on vacation in the Alps. The Vatican says the 82-year-old will stay in the hospital for treatment and observation. Two are dead after a stage under construction for a Madonna concert collapsed. The second worker died today from injuries in the Thursday accident in southern France. Madonna is reportedly canceling the entire show. Wall Street continued its week-long rally yesterday with major indices growing about 1%. Today, the Dow starts trading at 87.11 and the S&P begins at 940. It was below 900 just on Tuesday. The Nasdaq kicks off at 1885. So we're shining our spandex suits here at The Takeaway, getting ready for Comic-Con, which starts next week. As we're getting ready, we want to know from you, what's your favorite comic book? Your favorite comic book character? What about comic book movie? The best movie made from a comic book character. There's a lot of them. And if you could have a superpower, what would it be? Time to disclose all at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. Would they have thought on the day of the founding of the NAACP that 100 years hence there would be an African-American president addressing the centennial celebration of the NAACP in New York City, which is exactly what happened last night? We have three people here to talk about it. Rehan Salam is a fellow at the New America Foundation and editor of The American Scene. He joins us from Berlin, Germany, and you witnessed the speech this morning, correct, Rehan?
Yes, sure did.
And, of course, Farah Jadeh, our friend, often co-host, queen of the zeitgeist, journalist, a friend of The Takeaway.
Hey.
Farah Jadeh joins us. Good morning. And you were covering the speech last night.
Yeah, we did a special. The Takeaway did a special.
That's fantastic. And Geraldine Sam, who's the mayor of Lamarck, Texas, who we talked to at the top of the hour. She's on the line from her home in Lamarck, Texas, which is in Galveston County there. Geraldine, good morning once again.
Good morning.
What did you make of the speech last night? In many ways, the legacy that Barack Obama talked about of standing on giants is one that you can personally relate to.
Well, actually, I really appreciated his speech. I think that if I didn't know any better, I would have thought that he had stolen some of my speeches that I had given, because the speech that he gave was about no excuses. And so I really like that, because it's time out for blaming others for what we know that we should be doing as parents and what we in the community should be doing. For instance, myself, we'll say what our schools don't have and don't need. I didn't make an excuse. What I did was I called Oprah Winfrey on the phone, and they found me over $500,000 donations for my school. So,
well, there you
again,
go.
We've got to do our part.
It's about empowerment and about community. And here Barack Obama is extending, or at least attempting to challenge the NAACP to expand its vision in its next century.
Make no mistake, the pain of discrimination is still felt in America. By African-American women paid less for doing the same work as colleagues of a different color and a different gender. By Latinos made to feel unwelcome in their own country. By Muslim Americans viewed with suspicion simply because they kneel down to pray to their God. By our gay brothers and sisters still taunted, still attacked, still denied their rights.
Farah Jadeh, this is the moment, really, where Barack Obama says, the past is past, but really the next 100 years is about broadening the civil rights agenda to include other groups. Do you think that message resonated in that hall last night?
I think that there was actually a quite delicate balance along the lines of what Barack Obama did during the campaign, because he also spoke at a different point in the speech about the slave castles in Ghana. His recent trip to Ghana included a trip to a dungeon above which there was a church. And he used that to a great applause line to say that isn't this hypocrisy to see people
saying one thing and doing another?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that this was in some ways a rather distinct Obama speech, where he called for responsibility on the part of African-Americans locally, African-American leadership, but also said, look, there is structural inequality. He played both sides of that fence, and he did it with great rhetorical flourish.
Rehan Salam, is it credible to think that the civil rights agenda for African-Americans does broaden to issues of gays and issues of Muslims and the others that he talked about in the speech last night? Or does it remain more a series of categories and advocates who work for their own groups and don't necessarily embrace?
I think it makes a lot of sense, and I think it was very gutsy on his part. I think that a lot of American politicians have tried to speak differently to different audiences. This is one thing that, you know, people criticize the Clintons for example. You say one thing to a kind of conventional white liberal audience, you say another thing to an African-American audience. And I think that part of Barack Obama's rhetorical strength is that he really makes an effort to give the same message to every audience. So in this message, you know, rather than just trying to please conservatives or, say, liberals, he tried to challenge his audience in certain ways, while also, as Farah said a moment ago, linking together these structural questions with the idea of personal responsibility. And he embodies so much of this. I mean, he has this tremendous moral authority. As someone who is more on the right side of the political spectrum, there are many things I disagree with Barack Obama about. But these last two speeches, the speech in Ghana and also the speech to the NAACP, are things I think, you know, Americans across the political spectrum can really embrace, because it's him not so much as a political or partisan leader, but as a moral leader. And I thought it was really extraordinary.
All right, let's listen to him actually referring to some of those structural barriers that Farah talked about a moment ago.
The most difficult barriers include structural inequalities that our nation's legacy of discrimination has left behind. Inequalities still plaguing too many communities and too often the object of national neglect.
Geraldine Sam, mayor of Lamarck, Texas, where are those structural inequalities most evident in your community?
It's most evident in our schools, and I would say when people are going to make loans at banks, those structural inequalities still exist. We have people that are, in schools especially, because actually I'm a teacher as well as a mayor, you see those all the time, because the school that I teach at is 90% African-American, but we don't have a lot of the things that you would see at other schools. And so those things are happening in today's world. And so I see it, again, over and over again with our young people. You see that they don't have the technological equipment that a lot of the other schools have. Other schools may have smart boards, but we're still using the regular books in the classroom, but yet we're expected to compete at the same level as other schools.
And the president, of course, talked a lot about education last night. And Geraldine, Mayor Sam, you need to get your chief of staff to replace those batteries in the smoke alarm there in your house.
Thank you.
All right. We can take care of that for you. There is a question, not only in education, but also in healthcare, of a sense of deliverables that African-Americans and other constituencies are soon going to begin demanding. Here's the president talking about healthcare last night at the NAACP speech.
We know that even as spiraling healthcare costs crush families of all races, African-Americans are more likely to suffer from a host of diseases, but less likely to own health insurance than just about anybody else.
Farah Chidea, where does that translate politically into votes and to pressure on senators for the legislation that is very much on the table right now?
Well, I could give you a couple of answers. The first one is that I think that senators are concerned about reelection, and the ones who are up for reelection who have black people in their district will be very concerned if Barack Obama is getting folks all excited. But I think that this was meant to transcend the immediate practicalities and really frame Barack Obama as a health care reformer. He has been using health care in his personal missives that you get by email to do fundraising. And so when Barack Obama was speaking about healthcare, he was doing a few things: talking to the audience in the room, talking to the audience on TV, talking to Capitol Hill, and talking to people who can give him money.
Rahan, was this a stump speech on any of the legislative agenda, in your view?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think that, as Farai just said, I mean, I think that this he was speaking to multiple audiences in a sense, and so he is trying to, you know, beat this drum so that he can gain some momentum. And he's stumbled a bit in terms of trying to sell his healthcare approach. But I think that it was a very shrewd move because he has a deep and profound connection to this constituency. And, you know, even if his popularity erodes with other constituencies, he's going to have this as a solid base. So he wants to use it in such a way as to actually make forays to kind of hold on to that broader middle-class base.
Finally, Farai, you know, it struck me, and you mentioned that he talked about going to Ghana and experiencing the slave trade.
Right.
You know, he is not descended, though, in the same way as most of the people in that room are from the slave experience and the slave identity in the United States. And particularly when he referred to his mother keeping him on track and giving him the opportunity, that was a white mother. So I'm wondering how Barack's experience is special from the people in that audience versus being more embracing and being a part of the NAACP.
Well, I think that, you know, I would actually make the link to Michelle Obama. He made a point of saying, you know, the next Barack Obama and the next Michelle Obama, because he was someone who made a point of saying he was a guy from the south side of Chicago, which he's not. He's from Hawaii. But Michelle is. And Michelle is descended from lines of African Americans. I think they have blended these identities, African, white, African American, as they move forward. And he has taken on a bit of hers.
Rehan Salam, quickly, can he give this speech again, or does it begin to get redundant and sing-song and deliverables are about what the Obama administration needs to look at now?
I think this is exactly what he's going to be remembered for in 20, 30 years, his ability to communicate with this community in a very frank and open and tough-minded way.
All right, Rehan Salam and Farai Chidea, thanks so much for being a part of The Takeaway. Geraldine Sam, you have a great day today, all right, Mayor?
Okay, and thank you so much.
Geraldine Sam is the mayor of Lamarck, Texas, one of those African-American leaders that Barack Obama said stands on the shoulders of giants in the civil rights struggle. We'll be right back.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.
You know, you can catch the show live Monday through Friday. Thanks for listening. If you have any feedback or think there's any stories we should be covering on The Takeaway, contact us at 1-877-8-MYTAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. See ya.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.